Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Start the show off first of all by thanking all of you for the continued support. My website, RodneyPerry.com, is getting crazy traffic courtesy of you guys. So thank you. Go to the website, RodneyPerry.com. You can find all things Rodney Perry. The tour Off the Chain Live is in full effect. We're going from June 18th to August 28th. So get ready. It's going to be crazy. We are going to Charlotte, North Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, Birmingham, Alabama, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Nashville, and we're going to finish up right here in Atlanta, Georgia. Couldn't be more excited about that. Again, you can go to the website and see all things Rodney Perry. The Blog Talk banner is on my website, too. You can also check out archive shows. You know, like, say, for instance, you're listening to me live now, right? But guess what? You don't have to catch me live. You can catch my show. You can go back and click and listen to all the old shows, man. Got some great guests. Always have great guests. Upwards of 170 shows, which is crazy. I only do this show once a week. And, you know, from time to time, I might go on a different day just to kind of maximize, you know, what I do. But, I'm, again, super-duper excited, one, about doing this show, because I only talk to people I want to talk to. You know, myself, Ms. Madeline Smith, we produce this show, and we talk to people that we like, and we try to talk to awesome people, and that's no different today. My guest for today is an awesome human being, an incredible jazz artist, and we're going to chat in a couple of minutes. I tell you what, this is Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking to my man, Mr. Frank McComb. Oh, y'all ain't ready for this. I'm talking about one of jazz's finest. Ooh, it's about to get crazy.
What's up, everybody around the world? Thanks for tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. Remember to follow Rodney on Twitter, at Rodney Perry. And for all of your Rodney Perry updates, text Rodney Perry, with no spaces, to 41411. Again, to stay up to date, text Rodney Perry, with no spaces, to 41411.
Hey, what's the biggest number you can think of?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you?
10.
Okay. How about you?
Infinity.
Can you top that?
Infinity and one.
Actually, we are looking for infinity plus infinity. Sorry.
What about infinity times infinity? Oh.
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is a virtuoso. He does what he does on such a high level. Before I bring him on the line, take a listen. Frank McComb, A Song for All.
Some bad rhymes.
I've acted all my life in stages. 10,000 people watching.
Tomorrow may be new.
and gentlemen, that is Frank McComb. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something, Frank. Can I keep it completely real? Let me keep it completely real with you right now. So,
well, that's all I know. That's all I know. So go for it.
Let me do this. So I get that we got that piece right there, that medley. It's nine
mm-hmm.
minutes long, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I'm like, I cannot play this for 9 minutes, okay?
Right.
But then I'm sitting here listening, and I know the audience is doing what I'm doing. I'm there. I can see you tickling the ivories. I can see you singing. It was like I was at a concert, man. That was so awesome. I could not turn it off.
Let it play. You got the power. Go ahead. You got the power and the glory.
Let it play, man. Oh my God, dude. Man, you are so gifted. You are so gifted. Man. When did you know? Like, two questions. When did you know? And tell me about your training, too.
Well, I came up in the streets of Cleveland, Ohio. That was my college. I started playing piano at 12. I was at my grandmother was the pastor of our church, and my aunt Evelina was one of the piano players there. You know, so it was crazy because right after service, Evelina starts writing this blues tune right after service, and I thought it was the coolest thing because in my mind, you know. That's freedom. That's musical freedom. So I told her, I said, you know, Lena, I want you to teach me how to play piano because it looks real easy. You know, you make it look so easy. And she said, all right, Red, because that was my nickname. All right, Red, I'm going to teach you a little something. After service, we get to my mama's house, and she put this keyboard on the dining room table, and she says, come here, boy. And I'm like, not right now. I didn't mean to learn today.
She said,
you don't mess with Auntie Lena about no music. Now, you come over here and sit yourself down at her, boy, and you're going to listen and you're going to learn. And that's what happened. She worked with me for 1 hour every Sunday for 3 Sundays. So if you do the training, if you do the math, I had 3 hours piano training. That was it.
Are you serious?
So, I'm dead serious, man. It's a God-given gift. It took for her to just give me that, and then she had to start a job, and she couldn't teach me no more. So right after church service, she had to go straight to work. So what I did was I put my ears on everything I grew up listening to, and I came up in a household surrounded with music. It was just music everywhere, from Oscar Peterson to Donny Hathaway and Stevie Wonder to Parliament. You name it, it was played in the house, dude. And I put my ear on as much as I could. And before I knew it, I was sitting in Birmingham. Where am I at now? I'm in Mobile, Alabama, getting ready to play to a sold-out show tonight.
Awesome. So, I love it, Frank. Man, you know what's always interesting to me when I talk to musicians, especially piano players, is the fact that I always hear this. It's what I'm learning in this. It's really a gift because you guys do stuff that regular people don't do. When I hear musicians say they play by ear, like mm-hmm. – that's a concept for a non-musician that's very difficult to understand because there's some math to it. You got to know which keys, but you have an ear for which keys to touch, and that's just awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I like math. I'll be honest with you. I only like math when I'm doing the adding and the multiplying. I don't like subtraction and division because I don't like paying bills.
Come on now.
Happy Father's Day, man. So you know what I'm talking about.
Happy. Let me tell you something. That's one thing about having children is that, you know, there's always somebody digging in your pocket.
You know it. And when you dig in there, it's hollow. It's like a cave.
See that? See how we know each other?
Yeah.
Frank,
you're
named one of the 27 greatest keyboard players of all time by Music Radar. Man, how much of an honor was that for you?
Dude, man, you have no idea. To be in the ranks with Billy Preston and Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea, little me, dude, I lost my mind when I got that news. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. I still can't believe it.
I know, right? I'm going to ask you what I ask anybody from Ohio. What is y'all, what is in the water in Ohio?
I knew it. There's a lot of gifted cats. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of gifted cats just in Cleveland alone where I'm from. So many gifted people in Cleveland, but it takes a gifted person with some sense to get the heck out of there and stay out of there. So I got to give it up to my girl Yvette Nicole Brown, the actress, is one of my best friends.
Yes.
Man, she is
that's
such
a good
cool
friend
people.
Of mine. Yes, I love her.
She's a sweetheart, man. Me and her, we came up in the same talent shows, and I'm so happy to see her get out of there because I knew she was gifted back then. She was my buddy back then. She's my buddy today, and still consistent. And it takes a special crazy person to get out of Cleveland and stay out of Cleveland. I don't know what it is about my folks in Cleveland, but they get out and they can't stay out. And I said, no matter what, come hook a crook. When I finished that tour with the Rude Boys, Levert, and the OJs in 91, I moved to Philly. When I left my mama house, I left the state of Ohio altogether back in 1991. And I toured as the musical director for the Rude Boys. I mean, I'll give you a little of my story. Now that I got a bigger audience, man, and I thank you for this because you didn't have to do this, but you did. So what happened was, after studying with Evelina for 3 weeks, I learned as much as I could, and there was an old guy that heard me playing piano in my room. I was playing a Fender Rhodes piano. Everybody knows we can play a Fender Rhodes.
Yes.
And this guy talked me into coming to play in the clubs by the time when I was 15. So I started hitting the clubs with the older guys, making a little money here and there. And
right.
I really didn't have a teenage lifestyle, man. I had to give that up because I helped my mom raise my sisters.
Okay.
So from there, I started a trio, the Frank McComb Trio at 17, making all my own money, booking all my own gigs. And I didn't know I was going to be doing that at the age of 43, but around the world.
Wow.
And I'm happy.
Yes,
I'm happy to be saying that. So I'm booking my own gigs at 17, and I became really close friends with Joe Little from the Rude Boys, and
yeah.
who went to Collinwood High School. I went to Glenville, so I graduated from the
Joey
same school
B.
as Steve Harvey.
Joey B.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
That's my man, yeah. Me and that cat go back. He just sat in with me at a gig I played in Atlanta recently. That's my man. So he graduated from Collinwood High School. I graduated from Glenville, where Steve Harvey came out of. So I'm a toddler.
Right.
So I've known these guys, the Rude Boys, since high school. So Gerald gets them signed to Atlantic. They called me to be the musical director. So my first touring gig, I was the MD. We went on tour in September in 91. So when that tour was done, September 91, I moved to Philadelphia to work with Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And from there, I did a lot of session work for Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. So then I got signed to Motown Records, and I left
Hold on, wait, Frank.
Go for it, brother.
Gamble, you did session work with Gamble and Huff. How old were you then?
I was 21.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what, man? Mr. Gamble, Mr. Huff, they would pull the tapes from the 70s out of the basement, and they would bring them up, and they would have those original tapes played, and they would convert that stuff so that we can actually, me and some of the other musicians there, could actually make fresh tracks over or underneath, rather, the voices from the 70s. I heard stuff that the Jays did in the 70s where they still sound like they do today.
Wow.
I love Eddie LaVert. That's one of my mentors, man. Those guys still sound just as good today as they did back then. But to be there to play those tracks, to put music under those voices, man, it just blew me away.
Wow.
It blew me away that I could go in that basement and get the unreleased music that they never put out. They were good guys to me, man. I kid you, God has put me in some great positions, man.
Yeah.
To not have a record company, management, booking agency, any of that. It's all me now for the last 10 years. So we'll come to that. So after after working with Gamble Enough, Will Smith, Jazzy Jeff, I signed in Motown. I left Philly, moved to L.A. on November 9th, 1992. I remember like yesterday. And that's when life really changed. I ended up doing a record. I did two projects for Motown, but there were so many changes going on with the label at the time. They were bought out by Polygram, and the little guys like me were forgotten about. So may he rest in peace.
So wait a minute. That was during the Mo Jazz era. Am I right?
That's where I was signed. Mo Jazz record.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that vividly. I remember that vividly because Mo Jazz was my introduction to jazz because – you know, of course, you know, Mo Jazz kind of made jazz cool for younger people. And
exactly.
I remember that time vividly. That was like the 90s. That was like early 90s. Am I right?
Early 90s. That's right. You're on point because that's when I signed early 90s.
So you signed Mo Jazz. Mo Jazz goes away. Mo Jazz goes away. Then what?
Actually, I went away before Mojazz did. I stood off out of there, man. I had recorded two different projects with two different producers, and they never saw the one saw the light of day illegally. That's a whole other story and a bottle of whiskey. But it turned out to be a great day in heaven for me. So may he rest in peace. Joe Busby let me walk. And I told him, he gave me the choice. He said, man, you've been here a couple of years, and it has not been to your favor. What would you like to do? And I said, I would stay here, but I don't know what Motown is about to do, so I'd rather go and just take my chances, man. And he let me go. So while I'm waiting on my walking papers, I get a call from someone saying, hey, Branford Marcellus is looking for a singer, and you were highly recommended by Patrice Rushen and one of Branford's best friends, some guy outside of the industry but knows everybody. So I get this song. It's an old Elton John tune, Mona Lisa's at Manhattan. I demo the song for Branford. It gets to his ears, and before I know it, I'm in Sony Music Studios with him recording a song. So within 45 minutes, I'm done. Branford looks at me and says, man, for the money I'm paying you, I thought I was going to work you all night. I said, nah, brother, that's why you paying me the money you paying me. Get in and get out. And me and that cat been like brothers. I mean, I just heard from him this morning. So me and that cat's like brothers ever since, right? So I go on the road with Buckshot LaFunk, and it leads to a couple of hit songs for me over in Europe. And they were moderate hits here, but they were big over in Europe, and especially this tune called Another Day from the album Music Evolution. And it led to my deal with Columbia Records. So in 1998, I signed to Columbia. I recorded my first record, Love Stories. It sat on a shelf for all of 99, so I toured with Frankie Beverly and Chaka Khan during that time so I could feed my family. And I just got tired of waiting on Columbia to put the record out. So me, Branford, and my manager then, Tammy, Shaka's sister, we went in there and fought the company and said, hey, we need to get this record out. And finally, they put the record out, and they only put out like 25,000 copies and said, okay, if it sticks to the wall, then cool. If it don't, oh well. And it didn't stick because they didn't push it. But exactly. People are still saying they love that record as though I just released it. Now we're talking years later. And they're still talking about that record. So I put out that record for Columbia. I put out another record for an indie label, which was a good record, but I hated the company. I won't even mention them. They don't even deserve to be mentioned.
Wait a minute, Frank.
even bad publicity is good publicity for them.
Frank, so, I'm not going to say their name.
They don't even want it. Trust me. My mouth might fall off if I mention that company again. So I put out the truth. You know what I mean? So forget it. I put out The Truth Volume 1 in 2003. But while that record is being pushed, I noticed that the record I did in 95 for Motown was circulating over in England. Now, I had just opened for Incognito, and I'm signing autographs in a room, about 150 people, and about 20 of these people came up to me with a copy of this record that wasn't supposed to be released. Now, mind you, Billy Preston's on this record, Harvey Mason's on this record, Doc Powell, Branford Marcellus, Tony Maiden from Rufus, Freddie Washington from Forget Me Nots with Patrice Rushen. All these people supported me on this record. And this guy is selling the record. I won't even mention who he is. He ain't worth it. But he was part of that record company team.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's selling this record for £25. That at the time was $50.
Yeah, that's like $1,000.
Yeah, it was double over there. So yeah. During that time, it was double. You know, the British pound is beating the dollar up. The dollar is a punk compared to the pound. So I'm like, how did you get this? And everybody told me how they got it, what they paid for it, the whole nine. And I got home and I said, you know what? If a thief can steal from me, then I can steal from myself and do just fine. So what
now.
I did was I went into my studio and I pulled 12 songs out of what I call my vault, my recording studio, Booby Scoop Music. And I put those songs on a CDR, and I just wrote on it, frame a call straight from the vault. And I said, from this day forward, I'm going to stop taking this business so serious. Man, I got a call from, I went to Cleveland first, my hometown, told my story, sold the whole bag. So I took that money, went and bought some more CDRs and just kept burning them, writing, frame a call straight from the vault. Got a call from Layla Hathaway. We went up to Oakland, played Yoshi's. So the whole
Yoshi's a great spot.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. They just need to stop playing around and book me because I got fans up there mad.
I already know. I know it's a great community in Oakland, man. You a smash Oakland, but let's go. Yeah.
Man, I love Oakland. I do. I love Oakland. I just wish the club would just say, come on, let's do something. So all in time, all things in its proper time. So Leo and I go to Japan and we play the Blue Note. I sell a crap load of records there too. So I just said, okay, I must be on to something. So I took all the money that I made from CDs and I put it into actually building my little record company, Boobie Scoot Music, B-O-O-B-E-E-S-C-O-O-T. And I named it after my daughter. At the time, that was her little nickname. My wife, when she first started calling, she called her Boobie Scoot. Oh, look, Boobie Scoot, Boobie Scoot. And I said, I know that name is going to clear the counter recorder's office. And nobody going to have that name.
So that's how I got that name. You can get boobiescoot.com right now.
That's right. Yeah, I got it. That's my record label. People can buy my records right there.
You already got that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, people can buy my records from there right now if they wanted to. They can go straight there, boobiescoot.com.
Now, Frank, let's do this, man, because you know what? What I'm hearing as I listen to your story is you've never been afraid to bet on yourself. Like, speak to what that is for you, man.
For me, it's called the spirit of boldness. God has given me He's given me with the spirit of boldness since the time I was a child. You know, you don't just leave your mama house and move to another state and just be a nomad, don't know where you're going, with $20 in your pocket, you know. And I had to carry that same spirit of boldness even down to booking my own concerts around the world, you know, and that's what I've been doing. People reach out to me directly because I've been signed to one booking agent, I won't mention them, but they only had me on the roster just strictly for numbers and names, and they never booked one show for me. And I said, never again will I allow a company, a situation, or anything to tie me down. Now, I don't mind signing to another label. I don't believe in bad record companies. I don't believe in bad business. I'm allergic to that. That's my problem. I break out and hide. You know, I'm allergic to bad business.
Let's talk about that, Frank, the business of what we do. Because, I mean, listening to you, your journey is very similar to mine in terms of, you know, I've always largely handled a lot of my business because the people I've hired along my journey wasn't working as hard as me. Is that what you
went through? Oh, yeah. I went through that, man. I went through that. I did. And it's crazy that you mentioned that. It's like everybody that I brought along to work with me during that time in my period of my life where I was trying to find my way, I had people that just, how do I say this? I'll put it to you this way. When I gave people a little leeway, they took it and ran with it. And all of a sudden, I was working for them, you know, or they became possessive or controlling. And at the end of the day, it started costing me work. It started costing me money. And I got a family to feed. Anytime you cost me a concert because you're bringing your other clients on to try to throw them on as a package deal to get double pay,
you're killing
me. And then caused me to lose that gig. Then you just took money out of my son and daughter's mouth. You just took a date away from me and my wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So I got tired of that. And nobody's going to look after you and yours like you. So, you know, roll up your sleeves and get in there and do the job. You know? And that's what I've had to do all my career. Even to this day, I have to do that.
I completely love it. Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. We're talking to Mr. Frank McComb. Frank, man, you sing, you play. Let's talk about this because as I watch the landscape of the jazz community, what used to be a great forum for jazz in the Jazz Fest is now becoming an R&B fest with one jazz artist.
I thought it was just me. It's been like this for almost 10 years now.
As an artist, what does that do to your community? Because, I mean, you got guys like you that's going to eat no matter what. But what does it do to the guys that's coming behind you? Because they don't have anywhere to kind of grow in front of people.
You know what? I'm not trying to name drop, but I just had a conversation with Stevie Wonder about 2 weeks ago about this. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, I'm afraid for the industry and where it's going. And I had to take his advice and just leave it in God's hands. He said, Frank, God is never going to stop making gifted people. It's just a matter of getting them into the right places to be seen and heard. Now, I'm going to ask God how to get in front of them people and be seen and heard because I've been here for years and I have not been plugged into the festival scene for some reason. Like all the jazz festivals? Yeah, because I'm seeing where the smooth jazz artists and the R&B artists are now, you know, it seems like that's what the festivals consist of. I mean, anytime, and it's not the slider. I love this chick, though. It's not the slider. Anytime you see Mary J. Blige's name on a jazz festival, something's wrong.
It don't make sense.
So, you know, I remember
I see Jazz Fest with hip hop artists on it. I'm like, what the
exactly.
fuck?
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly. Wow. You are so right. And it's like leaving no room for a guy like me. Because me, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a smooth jazz artist. And I'm not a hip hop or what they call today's R&B artist. Mm-hmm. That's not me. The best way to describe what I do is Donny Hathaway and Stevie Wonder meets Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea circa 1973. You're not going to find that. And you're speaking to Frank's publicist now. You're not speaking to the artist at this point in this conversation.
Okay.
And so if it sounds like I'm being a little arrogant, I'm sorry. I don't mean to come off that way to the public. But who's going to speak up for me if I don't speak up for me?
Come on,
you
got to
be your own first fan. If you can't be your own first out the game,
wow,
don't get in it. And if you're afraid, if you're afraid of what people are going to say about you because you have to speak up for yourself, get out the game. It ain't for you. Go drive a truck or something. And I got friends that are truck drivers, so it's not just like them. Go own a restaurant. You know, don't get in the music business. If you're insecure anywhere in your life, you can forget it. They'll eat you up. That's the truth.
Man, I got to be honest, Frank, man. This is one of the most refreshing calls. And this is what's dope to me is that through all the adversity, you continue to create a way. I won't even say find a way because find a way indicates that it was an accident. You're creating a way. And a career, man, like as your following grows and builds and you selling out shows, like, is it more rewarding for you because you've done it this way?
Actually, yeah. And you know what? I don't mean to preach or sound like Bishop Jakes or Bishop T.D. Jakes, Bishop Jones, who I love. I love those guys.
Jones is my guy. I like him.
Yeah, I love City Refuge, man. I'm telling you. I have to say that I am truly, truly a walking testimony. That no matter what man says, if they say no, God is going to say yes. He's going to say yes, and it's going to be in his time. And when it's in God's time, you'll respect it. So what I've learned to do is respect my career. I've learned to respect my calling. I've learned to respect what he put me on this earth to do. And it obviously was not meant for me to get my, as the world says, success through the likes of a record company, because I'm doing the same thing and playing the same places that all these other cats are playing. My name is on the same festival bills in some countries. Not all countries, not all festivals, but some. I can say I'm there. I'm much further today than where I was 10 years ago. So I must be doing something right. But I have to say, it's not all by my own doing. There's a higher power, man, because there's no way in the world I'm supposed to be where I'm at in the world's eyes. It's impossible. I had a record company tell me, Frank, you will never be able to sell your own music. No artist can ever sell his own music and be successful. He told me that 10 years ago, and I'm still here talking to Rodney Perry.
Come on, dog. Come on. Now,
I'm being honest, man. I'm being honest.
Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry. Tune in to Rodney Perry Live. I got my man Frank McComb on the line. You guys, he's got his social media up and running. You can check out the website. It's frankmccomb.info. Or if you international, you can go frankmccomb.de. The record company website is boobiescoot.com. That's boobiescoot.com, named after the baby. On Twitter, he's at Frank McComb Fans, and on Instagram, the IG, he's at Frank McComb. That's FrankMccomb. Man, I'm on your IG and looking at your Instagram, man, and you know. Man, wheel down, and I see everybody
that's
on here, man.
That's my man.
I see you. I see you getting it, dude.
That's my dude, man. And you know what? I'm honored to say that I am now 13 CDs in, and 10 of those CDs. I'm sorry. Eleven of those CDs are solely controlled by me. So
that's awesome, Frank.
Yeah, the latest two CDs, I put out two records at the same time last year, is live in Johannesburg. So I went to Johannesburg, South Africa, and recorded a trio record at the Lyric Theater last year. And this record, man, is so raw. We did this record like they did records in the 70s and the 80s. How they did live records, you recorded the feel. It wasn't like, you know, each song got to be 5 minutes long, 6 minutes long, 4 minutes long. No, you recorded the experience, and that's what it is.
Wow.
So Live in Johannesburg is definitely an experience. And then I recorded Live at the Bitter End, remembering Donny Hathaway, because so many people asked me to do tributes. So many people asked me to come and do concerts, you know, honoring Donny. I had to have something to give them. And then on top of that, folks have been asking me to do a tribute to Donny on wax, or should I say on plastic now, for the last 10 years or so. But I was, yeah, exactly. So I was reluctant to do it. I didn't think I could pull it off. But when the Bitter End asked me to do the record, I just told them about the Live in Johannesburg record that I recorded, because I had a gig at the Bitter End right after I did the record in Johannesburg. And they said, why don't you do a record here? And I said, really? And they said, yeah. And I couldn't tell them no, because I learned from Roy Ayers. When they asked him to do Coffee, he said, yeah, I can do a soundtrack. He had never done a soundtrack ever. He said, you can't tell them no. Yeah. Never tell them no, because they'll never call you back. So I didn't tell them no. And when I finished talking to Kenny Gorka over at the Bitter End, I said, how in the world am I going to do this record? Because it's just me. I don't have no financial backing. I can't put musicians up in New York. It's going to cost too much. So I talked to George Benson. And Benson told me, who's been my mentor since I was 17. Benson told me, Frank, you take your recorder, and just like you did the last record, you go into New York, and you hook it up to the board and record it by yourself. And if there's ever a time and a place you want to give tribute to Donny, that's the time and place, because he did his record. Donny Hathaway Live came out in 72. He did half of that record at the Bitter End. And he said Donny never recorded a record of his own music, just him and the piano, a whole record. He said that's where you want to do it and pay tribute, because George was there when he did his in 71. So I was like, man, I got to do this, listening to the legend, and I'm glad I did.
Man, you're constantly creating, constantly the consummate businessman. They told you you couldn't, and you are. What can the people look forward to? You're at Mobile, Alabama.
Tonight. Sold out.
Yeah.
I just played Sarasota two nights ago. Sold out. I'm finally getting to play in America again, but now I'm hitting places that I had never played before and selling these places out. Mobile, this is my first time playing Mobile, Alabama. You know, Sarasota was my first time playing Sarasota 2 days ago. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Frank. What is it about Europe that embraces the American jazz artists, or a lot of American artists that may or may not, you know, have that lucrative following in America? What is it about over there that, you know, allows us to make a living that's not here? What's the difference?
Well, for one, they keep their ears to the ground. You know, and I believe the buying public here in America, I believe they keep their ears to the ground too. But the difference between the two is you don't so much have to rely on the people in Europe, you know, because for some reason the people that run the clubs or whatnot, they seem to keep their ears to the ground too. Because my first concert in Europe as Frank McComb was in London, England at the Jazz Cafe. A lady named Lucy Whitehead, who booked the place at the time, knew all about me and reached out to me and booked me. But here in America, the people in the seats of power and influence don't keep their ears to the ground. That's what's sad. But the people, the buying public, they do, and they become very frustrated that I'm not in their city. And I say, well, you all have the power. Reach out to your local nightclub and raise hell.
Exactly. I'll come.
You know, without your money, they can't exist. Without your money, I can't do what I do. So the people tell me when I can go on vacation. People tell me when I can't. People tell me when I can buy new shoes. People tell me when I can't. People tell me what my budget is, you know. So you have to raise hell. You, as the people, have to raise the hell. So especially in America, but over in Europe, and we ain't going to even talk about Japan. Japan, the Japanese would tell me every record I've been on, now I ain't talking about my records, but all the records that I guest appeared on, all the records I played on, what years they came out, what keyboards I used. Literally.
Really?
And I have, yes, I kid you not. I kid you not. And, man, I'll be honest, the record companies don't think that there's a market for this. That's a lie, because I wouldn't be living the way I'm living. I wouldn't be traveling, and I have kids coming to my shows. I kid you not.
You're global, man. I mean, Stockholm, Sweden, Rotterdam, and Holland, man. It's London. You know, I mean, you're really a global artist, man. It would seem to me it would be a no brainer. But you know, again, you know, like Stevie said, it's all in God's hand and God's time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I'm cool with that. I'm cool. Yeah. Sometimes, you know what, that the one thing that we all as humans have a problem with is that patient thing. That word patience is difficult, dude. Because I'm like, I'm ready now. I'm ready. I'm ready to be in front of these people. But all in its proper time. I would much rather get the favor from the right people the right way at the right time. Like, for example, I have been asked to do a radio show by many people. Now, I had a radio show with another station over in Europe, but it didn't work out so well. But now I have a radio show now, and it was the right time with the right people in the right place. It's called The Living Room. Yeah, it's called The Living Room. And, you know, and it's working out for me. It's helping me to sell more records, believe it or not, because I get to play whatever I want to play on this show, and I get to play all my own music. I could do a whole show of my own music if I wanted to, because that was the requirement. They said, Frank, you got to play your own stuff. So how is it that a man in my position who never get the support of mainstream radio now get a worldwide internet radio show, and the numbers are growing each week. That's what
this was gangster, Frank. They say you have to play your own music.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Wow. You got to play your own music. And they get mad at me when I don't sing on the show. Like, I need to sit down at a piano and sing on the air. They're really giving me that kind of love. That's God. My life is not the norm. And I'm not being funny, but my life is not the norm. And I think that's one of the reasons, or probably the main reason, why my career has gone the way it has.
Take me here, you know? Frank. Take me. I was saying this to my wife recently, that when everything is good, it's easy to be faithful. You know, when everything is, you know, good, it's like, you know, I know God, you got me. Take me to the that point before it got good, when you had to really go, okay, God, you said you had me now.
That ain't easy, bro. I'm going to tell you, that's hard. But you know what? I'm telling you, if you just hang in there and just stick it through, man, stick it through, see it through, then I promise you it's better on the other side. A lot of us say, and I used to say this all the time, God, get me out of this situation. Get me out of this because I'm tired of going through this. I'm frustrated. People ain't getting me. I'm tired of the world saying I'm difficult because they don't understand me. I'm getting sick of that. I mean, I've had companies try to put rumors on me. I had a publishing company. I won't mention them fools either, but I had a publishing company that kept promising to put me with different artists that had name value, writing value, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And they never could because they didn't understand my style of music. But why did you sign me? Those are the things that frustrated me. Why did you even touch me if you didn't plan to do right by me? So I had to get over that bitterness, that anger, the whole nine. We say, God, get me out of the situation. No, get me through it because that way I can learn it. And I had to learn that from my wife. She said, Frank, we got to get through it. Don't ask God to get you out of it because if he gets you out of it, you ain't learned nothing from it. And you're going to be right back in the same position, in the same situation, probably another 6 to 7 months from now. Give it a year top. And she was right.
Wow.
Just stick it out just like Job did, Stick it out. Go through the mess. Just don't curse him and die. That's what I tried to tell him.
Come on now.
He said, go on and just curse God and get on out of here. You know, God, I'll see you in the next lifetime, man. No, you can't do that. Get through it. Learn the lesson from it. And then you'll appreciate it, man. You'll appreciate it. You become a much wiser person behind it, you know. And it's tough getting through them tough times, man, staying faithful to the situation. I wanted to quit this business many, many times. I'm not going to lie. But you can't give up on what God calls you to do, man. That's the end of itself. You can't do it. Don't
Well said. Man, Frank, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I feel like we can really go another hour. You know, because we're just scratching the surface, man. I got a friend of mine that's a jazz saxophonist. He just signed with a label. He was so excited, but as a friend, I'm worried for him because I know the landscape. I know how difficult it is for upcoming artists. And I told him, I said, dude, I said, you're in a similar position as me. Like, you can be super talented, but or the way the landscape is set up, you're only as good as you are famous. Like,
exactly.
People have to know to exist, and he was telling me this story about how somebody, you know, he had signed the company and the company wasn't really doing what they said they were going to do. And I think it's really like what you were just saying. It's like they don't know what to do. Like, you have to understand that even when you get representation, your work is just beginning.
Yeah. That's true. You know what? You can have all the representation you want and all labels you want, but first off, if you don't know your value and if you don't know you, you is in trouble. You better know you. But see, that was a mistake I made. I really believe that's one of the mistakes I made when I signed to Motown. I was still trying to find Frank McComb's sound. I was still trying to find Frank McComb as an artist, as a young man. And you don't want nobody to know you better than you. And the first thing they'll know about you is that you don't know you. And you in some trouble. So, yeah, man, that's the first thing. For two, no record company wants to hear an artist tell them what's best for them and be right.
Wow.
Just, you know, no record company wants to hear an artist tell that label, hey, this is what I need to be doing. Can you get me, hey, forget putting a bunch of money in a video. If you make a video, make it a video of me live in front of a group of people. Get me a tour bus and put me on the road. Don't give me that kind of money to be dumping into a video to be on TV that's not promised to be played. You know what I mean? Don't do that. Don't give me that kind of money for that. Put me on the road and give me some tour support. Let me get in front of the people so I can sell records and do concerts. That way you can make good money off the records and I can make my money off the shows to take care of my business. I don't know where the record company want to hear that.
They don't want to hear.
They don't want to hear what's best for them. No, they don't want to hear it. Not from an artist. No, because when they sign you, they're supposed to have that marketing scheme down. They're supposed to know what to do when they sign you. Don't sign me and tell me to get up from the piano. Eddie LaVert would kill me because he told me when I was young, he said, man, if you ever let a record company make you get up from the piano, I'll choke you to death myself. I would never sing, man, when I first started out. The Frank McComb Trio, I was just playing the piano and holding the crowd with just the piano and the band. And Eddie and Joe used to tease me all the time. Joe would say, you know that? And Verta say, what, G? He say, Frank don't make no money. Joe would say, Frank don't want to make no money, Pop. He don't want to make no money. He won't open his mouth and say.
Wow.
And he say, nah, he don't want to make no money. Nah, he just want to stay a back man forever. He used to mess with me all the time, man.
Wow.
Yeah,
What was it that made you go, you know what, I need to step out? What was that moment?
Eddie? When a legend tells you to do something, he must see something in you. We're talking about a successful man, platinum albums, been in the game longer than I was born.
Yeah.
And I mean, like Benson. Benson told me, because I used to have an issue with people telling me that I sounded like Donnie when I was young.
Right.
You know, and I didn't, I was like, you know, ignorant. I'm saying, man, I'm not trying to be him. I'm not trying to be him or Stevie Wonder. I'm trying to be myself. But George told me, man, anytime somebody tells you you sound like a legend, you're a fool not to take it and run with it. They're trying to tell you something, boy. So, yeah, because he had the same issue with Wes Montgomery. They all said he played like Wes. He was like, cool. You can tell me I play like Wes, and I don't play like a mess. I play like Wes. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, call me anything but bad. I'm cool with that.
Hey, and you know what? You know what, man? That's one thing. You are not as bad, man. It's this thing, man. I talk to a lot of people, you know, on this show, but you've dropped so many jewels, man. The spirit of boldness is something I'm going to take away from this chat because you have to have that to move on. Let's talk about this before we get out of here. You've been independent for the last decade.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fad now. You know, everybody's becoming independent because of the, you know, the change of the musical landscape with, you know, digital music and everybody downloading. What is it to be independent now for you, and what's exciting about it? What's the good thing?
Well, for me, I am literally independent. Everybody else is using, just like you said, as a fad. You know, independent to a lot of people means no record company. You know, but you're still getting some help somewhere. And that's still good. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you because you're still controlling your career. But independent to me means every dime coming out of my pocket. everything that I'm doing is literally I make every single decision. I book every concert. I record all the records. I mix and engineer my own CDs, and I put them out. Live at the Bitter End, Live at Johannesburg, yeah, I did those. Straight from the Vault, the first one I did on my own in 2003, I did that. So the enjoyment for me is the fact that I get to come and go as I please without somebody telling me I got to be somewhere. I don't like being bossed around. We got a problem with that. So my thing is I get to travel, I get to book my own concerts, go where I want to go, and enjoy being in those places. I can control my own schedule, my own press, the whole nine. I get to release the kind of records that I want to put out, the stuff that I miss hearing, and it just so happens to be a lot of the stuff that a lot of other people miss hearing. So I get to feed the audience what it is that I definitely hear them asking for versus hearing the people asking for something and having two people at a record label tell me that's not going to sell.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm hearing from the masses out there in the world that they want this. But I got to listen to two people at a label tell me it's not going to sell.
And probably two people that ain't been out in the club. They haven't been out
exactly.
to see nobody live. They don't know what the hell is going on.
Exactly. So I don't have to deal with that. As well as me putting out a record, for example, I put out a Live at the Bitter End, Remembering Donny Hathaway, and then first off being told how to do it. You know, no, you need a band for this. No, you're not going to do it at the Bitter End. You need to do it at the Troubadour. That's what you did with other stuff. Oh, you need, I don't have to deal with that, the confusion that comes in. And then after releasing the record, being told just a year later that it's time to put out a new one. Well, we just put that one out, and it's still selling. Let's get more
right.
out of it, because once you put the next record out, the last one might be forgotten about.
Oh,
we're
really?
In that society,
absolutely.
You
yeah.
know? And I don't have to deal with that. I can take my time and release a record when I feel like it, when I'm ready to give them a good record. I can take my time and focus on putting out good music versus just throwing out a bunch of products for a label. You know, so that record came out last year. Well, it's old now. It's time for another one. No, I don't have to deal with that. So I thoroughly enjoy pacing myself, taking my time, and enjoying my career. That's what I'm doing.
He's doing it and doing it and doing it well. His name is Frank McComb. His name is Frank McComb. They know him from Compton to Cairo, Frisco to Maine. He's independent. He's a businessman. He's an artist. He's a singer. He's a piano man. He does it on so many levels. One of the 27 greatest keyboard players of all time.
That says a lot, man. That says a lot.
That says a whole lot.
And you know what? They said I was one of the 27, and I came in, I think, at 27. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Come on, dog.
I'm cool with that. I'm handing in a number. When the Saints went marching in, I'm handing in.
Yeah. You're not only a top 27, you also top 50. You the top 100, too. You know, you top
I'm
all that. You in there, man. So, hey Frank,
man.
You got so much good, great stuff going on. You're about to make a Chicago run, Chicago swing, 27th, 28th, and 29th through the Midwest. Let's see, Password, Reggie's Music
Joint.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And
Password,
at the Hamilton in Wisconsin. You guys go to the website, check him out. His name is Frank McComb. Please do yourself a favor. If you love jazz, if you love music, you need to have Frank McComb in your life. Man, people can buy all your stuff on iTunes and all that great stuff if they're not.
Yeah, that's right. They can go to iTunes and get everything there as well. That's right. Wow.
Awesome.
Thank you, Rodney. You
man,
are awesome,
no,
man.
No,
thank you.
No, thank you, man. It is a pleasure. And this is the thing. Like, I think as artists, like, they're the people that's at the top of the food chain, the Stevie Wonders and the people like that. The comedy world is the same way. There's the Kevin Harts and whoever the hot guy at that moment. But there are those of us, the Frank McCombs, the Rodney Perrys, that the people at the top of the food chain aren't 100 times better than you. You know.
Okay.
They're good.
I've seen that.
They're not 100 times better than you. So it's just a matter of people knowing. Man, I wish you that. I wish that people, the world knows. And man, it's been a pleasure to chat. Have a happy Father's
Wow.
Day.
Thank you. You know, I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad you said that, man. Because you know what? I'm not being funny or trying to bring down nobody else. But a lot of guys won't share the stage with me. They won't share the bill with me. And it's not that I'm trying to upstage or show anybody out, but I can't dumb down what God has called me to do. Somebody else. So
A good friend of mine, you may know this guy. His name is G-Mac. He used to play with Mary J. Blige. He used to have a band out in L.A. I used to hang out. And I remember him telling me one day, he said, Rodney, never dim your light to let another person shine. Never dim your light to let somebody else shine. So
we just need to be headliners. That's all. We're just headliners. That's
we
all.
Just headliners.
Walk in that person. Walk in that person.
Come on, dog.
Yep.
We headline.
Everything will happen in its proper time. Everything will always happen in its proper time. I believe that.
Hey, Frank, again, thank you so much for coming on. Again, his name is Frank McComb. You can check him out on Instagram. He's at Frank McComb. You know, he got the sexy pictures, too. It's for the ladies. If you want to get in contact with him, it's sexy chocolate.
But you're the sexy chocolate. So what am I?
You sexy white chocolate.
Vanilla bean or something. I got to find something. I got to call myself something. I got to brand myself. Sexy vanilla, sexy yellow.
Did you say
I don't care what y'all say. We ain't never going out.
No, not at all, man. FrankMcComb.info, boobyscoop.com. On Twitter, he's at FrankMcCombFans. He's active. He's got social media, and he's got skills beyond measure. Frank, thank you so much for coming on, man. Any words to the up-and-coming artist, man, from Frank McComb?
Thank you, Rodney. Just don't let nobody tell you what you can't do if you know that you're good at what you do. Don't be in denial. If you know you need to go back to the drawing board, then go back to that drawing board, come back stronger, and make your dreams reality. Well, you know, nothing comes to dream, you know, nothing comes to sleepers but a dream. That's what Gap Band says. I say this. Turn that vision, that's a whole different ballgame, turn that vision into reality. You can do it. If you know that you're supposed to be doing something and you know that you're good at it, don't let the world tell you can't do it. Prove them wrong.
Well said. Hey, y'all, the man is Frank McComb. Go check him out right now. Go to boobyscoop.com and check out this man. This is an awesome human being. Or go to frankmccomb.info. Frank, thank you, thank you, thank you, brother.
No, thank you, Rodney. Stay in touch. Let's do this again.
Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry. You've been listening to RodneyPerry.com. My guest today, Mr. Frank McComb. Remember, have the spirit of boldness. Have the spirit of boldness. Hey, y'all, that's our show for today. Be good.
Hey, I'm Rodney Perry, host of Off the Chain on Bounce TV. June 18th and 19th, Bounce TV, Off the Chain, is coming to Charlotte. That's right, to the Comedy Zone. It's going to be incredible. You're going to be there. Why? Because I'm giving away free tickets. Brigitte, tell them what it is.
Rodney, the info's right here. Text Bounce TV to 70403 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the June 18th show at the Comedy Zone.
Don't forget, June 18th and 19th, Comedy Zone Charlotte.